Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come in and just to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that this morning may just be filled with your goodness, and that we may just learn and grow and get to a greater knowledge of who you are. Father, we pray for a blessing on our offering, that it may be used for your goodness, and that we may manage it properly as you've given it to us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, stand and we'll begin our worship.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your light. We are here for you. We are here for you. You, our hearts are open.
Welcome in this place. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
that you've done for me.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. My heart becomes free. And my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Comfort this place and glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Good morning. If I could have all the children come up, I've got the children's lesson this morning. So just go ahead and sit down here, please. Go ahead and sit right there. All right. I'm not sure if I got enough for everybody. But it's great to see you all here. All right. Y'all gonna sit together? Hi, Samuel. All right, so can y'all see this guy right here? All right, a friend gave this to me to use today. And it talks about the armor of God. And I have to admit that I haven't studied this verse, these verses, as much as I should, because it's pretty important, especially for a soldier. We're all soldiers. Did you know that? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's found in Ephesians 6, and this is chapters 6 through 15. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Now, I have to stop right here, because if you guys want, you can pretend like you're putting on the armor of God as I read this, okay? So, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth around your waist. So the belt of truth. See, I actually have a belt on today. So the belt, so does Paul. So, and here is his belt. All right? So you put on the belt of truth around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness. See, there's his breastplate. It goes right around our heart. Okay. And with your feet fitted, and some verses say your sandals, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So you got to have good shoes on. All right. And from in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. See the big shield right here? That's your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation. So here's the helmet. Protects your head. And the sword of the Spirit. See the big sword right there? Which is the Word of God. And then in this lesson, it doesn't talk about it, but the seventh one is prayer. All right, so I'm going to be doing a demonstration here of why putting all this on is important. Can everybody see these two oranges? They're staying afloat, aren't they? Can you see that? They're all staying afloat. But what happens when we don't? What happens if we forget to put on, let's say, if we don't put on all the armor of God? Let's say if you peel away one of the chunks, what's going to happen then? Let's say it's the belt of truth. When someone says something ugly about you today, you might believe it. We might forget that we are wonderfully created in God's image. And so see, the bell of truth was taken away. See, the orange still floats, but it's sunk a little bit. Okay, go ahead and take more off. All right, so you can see what's going to happen, though. If we keep taking away the armor of God, what do you think is going to happen to that orange? Yeah, it's slowly sinking. And so that's why we need to put on all the armor of God. Go ahead and take it all off. We put all the armor of God on, then we'll stay afloat like this orange right here. So I don't have time today, but when you go home, ask your parents what all the armor of God represents and means. Maybe the next time I preach, maybe I'll have to preach on this. All right, go ahead. All right, can everybody see what happened now? It's sunk. And in life, we don't want you guys to sink. We want you to stay afloat. So let's pray. Dear Lord, help us all to put on your armor of God each day, that we may withstand against the evil one on this earth, and that you may be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, thanks.
Fantastic job. Thank you, Jeff. Can we give him a round of applause? Good morning. Man, that's good to be here today. I hope you guys are as excited as I am. I want to start off by welcoming all of our guests and so forth that are here this morning. We're excited to see you. For those of you who are joining us online, and for those who are tuning in on the radio, we are glad that you could join us. Before we get into the message today, and before we get going too far, I want to take a minute and let's just pray. So let's bow our heads, and let's just prepare ourselves. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for your words and for your armor that you gave us. Father, I ask that this morning that it be your words that are spoken and not mine. Father, I ask that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Father, may we grow in all that we do. May we learn more about you and learn to rely on you in a greater way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to start off, we're starting a new series, and it's called The Battle. That is what we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks. And, you know, we all face battles in our daily lives. We're constantly facing them. Some of our battles are fought behind closed doors. There's things when you're home alone and nobody else is around that you face these particular battles. And other battles are a lot more open where others can see it. And where it's wide open and the world can see it. And yet no matter who we are or where we are in our walk with God, all of us face different battles in our lives, and we have to walk through them. So often our battles are between the flesh and the spirit, the idea between the world and God, and what God wants for our lives, and what the world is asking of us as individuals. And throughout this series, we're going to be looking at these battles that we all have. The Bible instructs us that we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. That we are to be a light to our community around us. Often this battle is not easy. You know, the world wants us to live one particular way. They want us to live basically as if there is no God. We can say there's a God, we can have our faith, they tell us, but we're not allowed to live it out. We're told to focus on worldly things, to say yes to things of this world, even if it goes against the word of God, if it's not the popular thing for the world. We're often told not to take God so seriously, not to take the word of God so seriously. So with all of this going on, how do we live a Jesus-centered life in this selfie-centered world? That is what we're going to be looking at over the next couple weeks. We're going to be covering topics such as intimacy, authenticity, compassion, rest. But this week, we're going to be looking at contentment and what it means to be content with where God has placed us in life. Learning to be content with our blessings that we have already each and every day. So what does it mean to be content? The Webster Dictionary simply states that contentment means a state of happiness and satisfaction. Finding joy in the little things in life. Finding joy in the moment that we find ourselves in right here and right now. Needing nothing else to just be content. When was the last time that you could honestly say that you were content in life? That you were content with where God had you in that moment. That you were satisfied with your life. That you didn't feel like you had to have a new relationship or more friends or less friends. You didn't feel like you had to go buy a new car. You didn't need to go upgrade your house. You didn't need a promotion or a raise at work. You didn't need that new cell phone or the bigger TV. You didn't need to redo your entire living room because Sally down the road got her husband to buy a new furniture set. You were just truly happy with where God placed you in life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we find Paul talking about false doctrines and human greed. And as he's talking, he points out in verse 5, the constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way of material gain. Especially that last part there. Imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. The world seems to think that what things that will bring us joy and satisfaction is possessions. It's items. So often the world tells us that we need this or that, and for us to be satisfied, we're going to go out on a shopping spree. But there we also have that if we're truly godly, we will gain great wealth. In the physical sense of money and possessions is often how the world looks at it. You know, how many of you guys have heard it on the TV stations? The name it and claim it. If you tell God, and you know, God will just give it to you no matter what. That's not how God works. Nowhere in the Bible has God told us that he's going to bless us in the financials and all of that stuff in a way that makes us super rich, gives us every item that we would ever desire. Does God provide good things for us? 100%. But it doesn't mean that you're going to become extremely rich in man's terms. You know, some of this comes from Jewish tradition. And the reason when Paul wrote this and he talks about how some people in the material gains, in the Jewish traditions, there were those who believed that if you were sick or if you weren't wealthy by any means, if you were poor, it was because you weren't godly enough, that you had sin in your life that was holding you back. And so when Paul writes to Timothy and he tells them that godliness is not a way for material gain, it throws them off. He continues in verse 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with these things. He reminds us that God has given us every single thing that we need. He's given us everything that we are called to be content with in life. And that we should learn to be satisfied with where God has placed us right here and right now. Where if we keep chasing the world, in verse 9 it tells us, but those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. Things in this world may bring us temporary joy. Those items may bring us temporary moments of satisfaction, but they're moments. And ultimately, when we pursue that instead of God, it will cause our downfall in life. You know, here in America, we have a hard time being content. We have a very hard time. We're always searching for the next big thing that will bring us joy. The average American carries over $6,000 in credit card debt. We finance everything in life. Cars, furniture, house upgrades, all of it. There's Christmas, birthdays that are financed. Even vacations are often paid on credit cards. The problem isn't that you use the credit card for your vacation. The problem is you don't have the money in your bank account to cover the credit cards again. And you just allow yourself because you just have to have that extra. And we do this because we're constantly trying to keep up with the Joneses. Thinking the next big thing is what's going to bring us the joy in life. If only I had the newest iPhone. If only I had the newest this. If only I had the newest that. I will finally find joy. The problem is that joy will be for a slight moment. A lot of this comes from social media. It's showing us what we need or what others think we need to be happy. Social media is just nothing but scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and seeing what we think we need. We see people taking these elaborate vacations, so we feel we need to do the same. We see people where camping trips used to be fantastic. Now we have to go rent the cabin in the woods because that camping trip down the road is just not going to cut it because we saw what somebody over here had. And we find ourselves longing to be more like the people we see on social media. We see them out on the beaches, you know, and maybe a cruise. I saw an advertisement on Facebook a while back. And let me tell you, I wanted that vacation that was advertised there on Facebook. Have you guys seen it already? It's this island setup with the little tiki huts that run out across the ocean. And then you can stay in the tiki huts. They have like their own little bathrooms and all this set up. And man, I wanted that vacation. I'm looking at that and I'm like, that looks like paradise. That looks like relaxation. Like I could spend a week there. Nobody could bother me. It'd be amazing. So I finally went and I did some research trying to figure out where can I do this. And I looked it up. And like I said, I wanted it. And then I read the price tag. Guys, it's $15,000 to $20,000 to stay there for 1 week. And that wasn't even a full week. But I wanted that vacation. And that advertisement made it look like that's what normal people did. Like that's the type of vacation everybody should go on. And we find ourselves daydreaming and never being content with what we have. We see the people driving the new car, so we need a new car. We see people upgrading their house, so we need to upgrade our house. That's all just on social media. You're sitting there scrolling. How many hours a day do you sit there scrolling? Over and over. We forget that people often only show their best on social media. 30-second recap at a time. My day looks amazing each and every day if I present it to you in only a 30-second blip. I can make it look fantastic. I am living the dream life with zero struggles if I show you 30 seconds a day. And they come across so perfect in those highlight reels. So what often happens is we find ourselves constantly comparing ourselves to others. And what I find very interesting is the more you compare yourselves and your life with other people's lives, the less satisfied you are in your own life. The less joy you will find in your own. And that throughout human history, we've never had as much as we have today. We have never had as much as we have today. I'm just thinking, like, think of your house. Think of the house you grew up in. Think of your grandparents' house. How much bigger is your house than your grandparents or your parents versus how many people live in that house? How many TVs do you have in your house versus how many did you have growing up? Think about these things. And even though we have so much more, we're constantly wanting nothing but more. We're never satisfied with what we have. No matter what the world provides for us, no matter what our money buys us, it's never enough. What do you have an abundance of in your house, yet you always feel like you need more of? What is something that you have an abundance of? When was the last time you were satisfied with what you had? When was the last time you just said, thank you, Lord, for the blessings you have given me in my life? In 1 John 2:15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possession is not from the Father, but it's from the world. It says in verse 17 then, and the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. Often we think of lust as more of a sexual way. And honestly, though, we can lust after things. We can lust after items. We can lust after different parts and jobs and so forth. And when we're not content with what God gave us, we're lusting after all things of this world. And it becomes a big distraction for the blessings that God has provided for you. And let me tell you, nothing in this world will ever satisfy you. It may momentarily, but in the long run, there isn't a single thing in this world that will satisfy you and leave you wanting for nothing more. You know, also, when we're talking about being content and finding satisfaction, we're not just called to be content with our personal items and vacations and stuff like that. We're called to be content with the relationships that God has placed in our lives. So often we see people's relationships on social media and we find ourselves getting jealous over what they have versus what we have. You know, we see some of those people, they post all those cute couple pictures and they're constantly seem to be on vacation somewhere together and they're taking these trips and they all just seem so happy. They're going out to eat and they're showing off and their kids just seem so perfect in every way. You can't imagine them doing anything wrong. But, and then you look and you're just thinking for you guys, you're sitting there going, man, look at all the stuff that his wife does for him. You know, or the wife, maybe you're sitting there going, you see how many gifts she's constantly getting from her husband? There's new flowers showing up every week. And you keep making these comparisons with others. And you wonder why that joy in your relationship has left. Because you keep comparing them to others. It's because when you do that, nothing your spouse will ever do will be enough. Because there's always going to be somebody else who's doing something else that they're not. Your partner will never be enough if you set your expectations by what others do. I read this week, you know why marriages used to work but don't anymore? 25 years ago, we weren't texting our exes at 2 a.m. We weren't sending selfies to friends of the opposite sex. We weren't texting 50 people in our phones instead of cuddling on the couch with our spouse. We didn't have our next option lined up the second something didn't go exactly right with who we had. We worked on problems and communicated with our partners instead of posting about issues on social media so that everyone could put in their two cents. You want things to work? Stop making your partner compete for your love. Or making them feel like they failed at loving you. And I would also add and push very hard. If you want your relationship to work, stop comparing your relationship to everyone else. Look at who God gave you. Count your blessings that God gave you that person. And work through that to make it stronger. And for some of us, though, our discontentment is not in a relationship. For some people here, it's the lack of a relationship. They see all the happy couples on social media, and they want to be that happy couple. They want to be that person. And I know for many, you guys desire your partner in life, desire to have a partner to build that life with. Yet God has not called you to that in this particular season of life. And you need to learn to be content with where God has placed you in this season. You know, in 1 Corinthians 7, 32 to 35, Paul points out, I want you to be without concerns. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. In 33, it says, but the married man is concerned about things of the world and how he is to please his wife. In 34, it says, and the interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about things of the Lord so that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the things of the world and how she may please her husband. And in the last verse there, 35, it says, I am saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper and so that you may devote it to the Lord without distraction. I want to clear up one thing here. Paul is not saying that being married is bad or wrong. In fact, there's a lot of other areas where he heavily promotes marriage and he encourages marriage. But what he is saying is that if you are single right now, enjoy this singleness, dive into it, see what you can do for God, allow him to speak to you and use you in ways that he can't because you are obligated to serve your wife or your husband. Because at this moment, you have that ability to serve God with everything you have, with no other distractions. And for you married folks, you are serving God by serving your spouse. Let me clarify that. You are serving God by serving your spouse. Philippians 4, 12 and 13 says, I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me, and that him is Christ. You will always battle with discontentment in your life. Nothing will ever be enough until you allow Christ to be all that you need. Until that moment, you will always have that battle. If you want to stop being discontent with your life and where you're at, there are a couple things that you can do. There are a few steps that you can take to start moving ahead. Number one is always going to be prayer. Spending time with God, asking God to help you find the joy in that moment. And then in 2 Corinthians 10:12, it also tells us, for we don't dare classify or compare ourselves with someone who commends themselves, but in measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves to themselves, they lack understanding. At first, you may be trying to figure out what Paul is trying to say in the 2 Corinthians passage. 2 Corinthians 10:12. But you may be trying to figure out what Paul is saying in there. When we compare ourselves to the world, if that's where we base our standards for joy, where we base our standards for being content, we will never understand what God is doing in that particular moment, and we will never find contentment. That's what Paul's trying to say. So, if we want to stop us from comparing to others, there is a couple things that you guys can do. One, I would highly recommend, take a break from social media occasionally. Take that moment and take a break from social media. I'm not saying you have to delete your Facebook. I'm not even saying social media is a bad thing. I love social media, sometimes too much. I will acknowledge that. Some of you have seen some of my posts. I like a good laugh. But maybe take it off your phone so you can't just sit there and scroll for hours. That you have to be more intentional about going on social media or Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, whatever your fancy is. TikTok will get you in hours of scrolling without you even realizing you did it. If there's people on social media you keep comparing your life to, if there's like some follower or somebody that you just, you know, they have that big, they also do amazing work on remodeling the house constantly, unfollow them for a little bit. Hide them from your feed. And if that doesn't help you find a little more joy in where God has placed you at this moment. There's been a study done that actually showed that people who spend too much time on social media are more unsatisfied with their life than people who stay away from social media. There's a direct correlation between the two. You know, and other things you can do is you can stop ordering, you know, your home remodel magazines, all the different magazines. Stop looking at Pinterest all the time or watching HGTV shows. They cannot remodel a house in a week like they do on that show. I'm telling you now. And you don't need any more unfinished projects around your house. Delete the shopping apps. And I'm guilty of this too. Amazon seems to know what I need when I need it. Just pops right up. There's a notification. Do I really need that item though? Can I be content in my life without it? The truth is yes, but we don't look at it that way. You know, And don't go to boat shows, car shows, hunting shows. It'll leave you wanting more. It's never going to be enough. You're always going to want the bigger boat. You're always going to want the nicer car. You're always going to want the next, you know, next shotgun that came out for deer season. You're going to want it. And you're going to feel leaving unsatisfied. Or if you're like me, you've got boxes of lures tucked away in your garage with more rods than one person can handle on their own. I used to do tournament bass fishing at times, and I kept at least 14 rods and reels fully lined up, ready to go on my deck at all times. I didn't need 14. You can only use one at a time. But I always had to have that next one. You know how much better that reel is? I mean, it's got an extra ball bearing in it that the other one didn't have. We joke about that. But how much money do we spend on things like that where we really don't need it? How much stuff do we end up throwing out later? Look at garage sales. How much stuff end up just being thrown out at the end? Another thing that we can do to learn to be content is to learn to celebrate others' blessings in life. Do not look at that as a negative to see someone else doing better than what you are, but celebrate it. To be happy when that person gets a promotion at the job that you wanted. Celebrate them. Don't go home and sulk about it. If your friend's marriage is going better than yours, or if your friend is getting married and you're not, be happy for them. Celebrate with them. If your friend is going to Hawaii on vacation and they come home with all these amazing photos, be thankful that they got to experience that trip, even if you didn't. You know, life is 10% of what happens to you, but 90% of how you respond. If all your response is nothing, is always negative, you're never going to find joy in life. If your response isn't to look to Jesus, you will never find your joy in life, and you will never be content. It tells us in Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the oppressed are miserable, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Think about that. If we have a cheerful heart, we're always feeding in a good way. If all we do is spend time looking at the bad in our life, that's all we're ever going to get. We're going to get the bad in life. And we will see nothing but misery. Yet if we take the time to look for the good in life, King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 6:9, better what the eye sees than wandering desire. This too is futile in the pursuit of the wind. What he's saying here is stop using your senses to determine what is good. Just because it looks good to the eye doesn't mean that it is actually good. Our senses lie to us. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, we see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we see that in chapter 3 of Genesis. What do we see happen? Eve looked at it and she said in there, it appeared delightful to her. Just because it looked good in her eyes, it was something that she suddenly desired. And it caused the fall of mankind. We don't need to trust our natural senses like that. If we look at King David of the Old Testament, he lusted after Bathsheba, another man's wife, causing a moral downfall for David. And if we looked earlier at our passages in 1 John, we see a strong warning about the lust of the eyes. The Bible warns us over and over again, gives us example over and over again about pursuing things of this world and the way that people fail each and every time they do it. So the next time that you're not content with where God has put you, and you want to go out, and you're tired of your car, you're not satisfied with the size of your house, you're tired of the busy rat race life that you live, you're tired of the job that you have and you don't like it, your church is too big or it's too small, your relationship is not how you want it, remember Philippians 4, 12, and 13. And it states, I know how to make do with a little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. So when you are having those moments where you're not satisfied, where you have to have all the new stuff, you're not happy with your relationships, look to Jesus, ask him to fill you up, and find your satisfaction in that moment that God has placed you. Maybe take a 30-second look at your day as you look at others and see just that positive moment. Because let me tell you, when you start looking for the positive in life and you start asking God to show you, your whole perspective will change and you will find joy in moments that you never thought of before. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for the opportunity we had to gather together. Father, may we learn to be content in even the small things in life. May we learn to find joy in life, even in those difficult moments. Father, may we stop comparing ourselves to things of this world and instead start looking to you for our joy. As we go out this week, may we just remember all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I believe you gave sight to the blind. I believe the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs. You're still the same. I believe every word that you said. I believe there are scars in your hand. That your goodness is good without end. You'll never change. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age, and all generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is yesterday, now, and always, always.
I believe you will come in the clouds. I believe you are here even now. In your presence there is power, power to save. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always, always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always.
Thank you.
May God bless you guys as you go out this week. And I want to encourage you guys, find the little joys in life and learn to be satisfied with exactly where God placed you in this moment. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.